The
Donut Box.
The Donut Box. There are so many times when suddenly I just think back to the past. The past diets that I've tried and methods of dieting that I have done. And I'm just filled with so much regret. But it's not just regret. It's also appreciation, because I have learned from all of those experiences. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to learn through doing. Today, we are going to tackle some of our major diet regrets that we asked you on Instagram to share, and we got a lot of responses, so let's unbox this story. My name is Jo Sebastian, I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and this is The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things you usually don't talk about. So let's unbox this one. It's Joe.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to The Donut Box. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast.
Woo! I'm so excited.
Elijah is excited about everything in life, honestly. I mean, that is something that we all need, a little bit more excitement about different things, especially in the mundane things. It's a little bit difficult. How has your week been?
So far, so good. You know, the usual work. Got to play some tennis. I changed up my workout split, so I'm doing upper, lower, and full body. So yeah, it's been pretty good.
I haven't gone to the gym in a week or so, maybe almost more than a week. I mean, I've been going to tennis a lot, but whenever I start doing tennis more frequently, I end up putting the gym aside, and then I keep forgetting. I was doing so well with the gym when we weren't playing tennis, and now it's getting a little bit hard again. But I have been so tired recently, and I think it's because I'm gonna get my period soon, so it's like all my energy is drained.
that's life, right? But we gotta keep trudging forward.
Whatever, you don't even bleed. Hearing that from you doesn't make any sense.
Wow, okay. I'm just trying to motivate you. Someone's a Debbie Downer here.
Yeah, I told you I'm not in a good mood. Okay, so let's talk about today's topic. I asked this on Instagram stories, and I asked everybody, what are some diet things that you've done before and don't want to do again? Things that basically really ruined your relationship with food negatively or have impacted you maybe even up to this day. And I have all of your answers here with me. So let's unbox the donut box. Okay, so let's start off with a description of what dieting versus diet is. Because I think this is important. Whenever somebody says like, oh, I don't diet or I don't do diets. Or if somebody says there's nothing wrong with dieting in general. So we it's best for us to describe or give our description of what it means. Because This is usually what leads to the miscommunication or the argument, because we are not defining what we mean.
Yeah. Okay. There's always that. I mean, in a lot of things, right? It's a form of, I wouldn't say miscommunication, but more of like a misunderstanding, because you're not fully understanding terms, or you're not clearly making, like, not really a guide, but like a full understanding of what you're getting yourself into. And then,
yeah, you don't have the same definition or perspective of what you're talking about. So not necessarily perspective, but like you're just not on the same page. So
yeah,
like you're arguing about something that is actually completely different from each other. And then when you come to it, it's like, oh wait, we actually meant two different things. So it's really good to clarify that.
Exactly. So kind of like when you say seafood diet and I say seafood diet, and I talk about just eating food in general because I see it. And then you talk about like fish and stuff.
Well, I'm not talking about that. Okay. So let's talk about diet versus dieting. So when we talk diet, this is literally just everything that you eat and drink on a regular basis. Everyone is on a diet because everyone eats. Like, literally. So everyone is technically on a diet. And I used to be the type of person who was like, I'm not on a diet. No diets for me. But then later on, we realized, no, technically, everybody's on a diet. It's just that the way we eat and how we utilize food and all of those other aspects differ for everyone. While dieting often refers to when we are restricting ourselves or now going through fad diets and leaning towards the very popular diets that focus on restrictive, intentional weight loss most of the time, or even just quote-unquote dieting towards health. The air quotes are in the health because sometimes those restrictive diets are not actually health promoting in themselves. So when we talk about dieting today, we really are referring to the restrictive diets. Now, sometimes we may use the word diet to refer to restrictive diets. So it's just good to clarify that in the context of this episode, we're mostly talking towards or talking about restrictive dieting.
So you can just think of diets in general as an overarching thing. Dieting is the act of using a type of diet to lose weight. And usually those ways are very restrictive. So
okay, yeah. Let's start with some of the answers in the box, and then we'll tap into our own answers. Okay,
here we go. Were there any juicy ones?
You tell me. Okay, so let's go up to this one here. Potato diet.
Dang, that is...
So I'm guessing this is only eating potatoes, right?
Okay, so does that mean that as long as it's a potato, doesn't matter how you cook it, you can eat it?
I mean... I like that.
I love potatoes. Fries. Like camote is a type of potato. Like, do they count other types of like sweet potatoes?
I don't know. They said potato diet, not potato diet.
Oh come on, that's not fair. I want to make fries.
I don't know what it says. I don't know what the diet is, but eating only. But I'm guessing this falls under like just eating one thing. Which, to be fair, I don't mind eating just potatoes. But then again, I thought that too before. Eating only a specific food item until I got sick of it. But there's just so many ways to have potatoes.
Right? It's like one of the... I mean, like, people, like, say, oh, rice is a staple. But then when you think about it, isn't potato more of a staple? Because you can do more things with a potato than you can do with rice.
It's a staple in terms of cultural food.
Yeah.
In the U.S., the potato is a staple.
Yeah,
but
of course.
But then here, the rice is more of a staple because you can also do so many things with rice.
Okay, give me 5 examples. That isn't, fried rice.
Kakanins!
I'm so stupid. Yeah, you can use it as rice flour. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Many things as well. they're both a staple. Anyways, okay, yeah. So I think when they say potato diets, like they're only eating one food. And the thing about these types of diets, while potatoes are a great source of nutrients like potassium, they also provide carbohydrates and fiber and also even a little bit of protein, relying on just one food source can really lead to nutrient deficiencies. But apart from that...
It's boring as F.
Yeah, even if you can have versatile ways of having potatoes, there's definitely going to be a point where you're like, no,
you're gonna look at the potato. Oh, sorry.
Like, I don't even want to look at a potato anymore because the thought of eating potatoes is terrible, you know? And that's kind of why, that's kind of something that I did too, where I did this, if anybody is familiar with this, the Banana Island diet, where you would just eat bananas. And I keep on switching them up, but I'm not sure which one's the lakatan and the latundan. But the regular banana that you
lakatan is the longer one, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's not really like the length of the banana. It's more of like the skin, because like the skin is different and the texture of the banana is different. I always mix this up because for me the lakatan is the anyway. But so whichever one is the normal banana, I always mix those two. But I was only eating bananas for so long. Like, I was eating 10 to 15 bananas a day because they said that, oh, carbs are the best. Only eat carbohydrates and nothing will go wrong. And it did help me get rid of my fear of carbs a little bit. But it definitely didn't help me enjoy bananas.
Actually, on the same boat as you, actually, one of my, I wouldn't say craziest, well, actually, it is my craziest because that was the time where, guys, don't do this. Please don't do this. I lost like 30 pounds in about 40 days, 45 days. And all I ate was bananas and hard-boiled eggs and Gatorade.
At least you had variety. All I had was bananas.
I could kind of relate because there was a time I was like, I do not want to look at a banana again. I don't want to eat eggs. Gatorade was okay because I like Gatorade. But yeah, when you, it's with like a lot of things, right? When you expose yourself to a stimulus for such a long time and consistent, you start to have either a resistance to it, or you just start to hate it, right? So the same thing, there's going to come to a point where if you've been eating potatoes for, I don't even know how long you could eat a potato for, but like, you know, you've heard of those stories where...
You can try it.
Yeah, no, thank you. Where I've heard of those stories where there's people that do eat like one singular food, and then they, when they were young, whether it be because they were dieting or that's all they had, and when they grow up, they grow to hate it because it's like, I don't want to eat that ever again, or it reminds them of a traumatizing past, etc.
Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned this on one of my videos on YouTube where they were like, yeah, I definitely get the diet ick. So it's like, I like that term because like you get the diet ick, where it's essentially you feel an ick for these types of foods. And aside from bananas, which were very intense, even to this day, I struggle with eating a banana unless it is the perfect ripeness. And I can only eat a banana in certain forms. So it either has to be the exact ripeness that I need it to be, or it has to be in yogurt, in a banana bread, or in a turon, in banana cue form.
Okay, and, so you have variety.
Yeah, but then those are like mostly saba. So when it is, and I'm talking about now, before I was only eating it in its actual banana form, and that's why I got so sick of it. And that's why to this day, sometimes I'm like, I want to throw up when I eat a banana because all of the trauma is like coming in. The same goes with oats, because there was a time where I was only eating raw oats with saba, mashed saba. And at the time I was eating it, I was like, this tastes delicious. This is so good. I am amazing.
Wait, as in like dry oats? Like nothing?
Yeah, like rolled oats. Mm-hmm.
No, but like you didn't put water or milk next to it? Oh my God. You could banana. Do that? I didn't even know you could eat oats like straight up like that. I mean, yeah, but like, it's dry.
Yeah, but I mashed a banana and then I put the oats in. So it was like, it wasn't super dry, but it was definitely not the most enjoyable. But the time I was eating it, I was like, this is so good. This is delicious. And I was having that every single day for breakfast. And when I had it again recently, because I was like, my memory of it was that it was delicious. I tried it and I was like, what the heck is this? And how did I eat this?
What does it taste like? What does it taste like?
It just, I don't know, like, just imagine a mashed banana with raw oats. That is exactly what it tastes like.
that sounds horrible. How'd you, oh my gosh.
So now I have the ick with oats. It's also because I kept on doing overnight oats every single day for so long. And now also with TVP and tofu. Yeah, because in the start of the pandemic, right, we were eating a lot of TVP and tofu.
I kind of like, miss TVP, bitch.
We bought like the whole 15 to 20 kilos of TVP.
I got through half of it.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It's actually not bad, especially if you cook it the right way. But the way I was eating it was I just microwaved it with water, and then
I did the same exact thing. Looking back, I should have. But then again, I started putting it in my omelets, so that was good. I kind of miss having tofu and TVP. I should start looking into it because I kind of miss it. It's a good protein source. So, but yeah,
it is.
I got tired. It's of nice it real to quick. Have.
Well, it wasn't that quick for me. Okay, it was like quick. A year or two.
Yeah,
it was like a year or two until I was like, I cannot eat this and I want to throw up. And then I was having no protein at all, and that's actually why I started eating chicken. Because I was not having any protein source. So for those who didn't know, I used to be a vegan and then vegetarian. And then now I'm eating meat again because of the diet ick. Because I overdid it until I could not eat anything else anymore. So when you eat something again and again and again, not only does it lessen the variety of food you have, but also it may decrease the consistency of your routine and your own diet because you're also getting rid of a lot of staples for yourself because you can't eat them anymore, or you don't want to eat them anymore.
I think that was, those are the only instances that I've ever eaten something like that was it, right? when you ate TVP or tofu, was there any hidden feelings of like, I'm eating this because it's good for my diet or whatever, or like, or was it just because that's all you had and you didn't want to eat chicken yet?
Yes and no. I think there was a moral high ground for me because I was still not eating meat, and that's actually one of the things that I tried to work through now, is reminding myself that meat is not inherently bad in comparison to other protein sources, because I was raised in a household that was mostly vegetarian. So the idea of meat was automatically like, this is so unhealthy, this is not good for you, you shouldn't be eating it. Though those were not messages that were like blatantly said. Of course, if you live in a vegetarian household, it can be hard to think that those foods that that are not even being served are good in any shape or form. Right. So for me, even now, I'm still trying to remind myself that it's okay to eat pork every once in a while, and beef and chicken. So part of that, I guess, there was a whole mindset of like, this is so much better because it is plant-based and because...
And it's protein. Where are you going to get protein, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And though it is great for cholesterol, it does have fiber, it's just that the intention was wrong for me. Mm-hmm. It was not the right intention.
I think that's where I also went wrong, because I thought of it as like, oh, it's a lower calorie-based thing. And like, I was watching my cholesterol and everything, but like, I went too far into it where it was like, that was it. That is my holy grail of like protein source, and that's all I'm gonna eat. Tofu, TVP. Maybe I'll have chicken here or there. But I think there was a point where I wasn't even having like cooked like caldereta or adobo that someone cooked for me, and I would be like, hey, can I have this? Can I make this instead? And I got to a very unhealthy type of mindset.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of things in dieting, in the diets that we have, or the restrictive diets that we have, do have a well intention in the beginning, right? Because the intention is usually to be healthier or to make better choices and so on. But somehow it brings or draws that line of all of a sudden it's no longer for health. It just becomes control. It just becomes restrictive and so on from that, right? Like, we can actually take a lot of things that we learn from diets, rather than having to strictly follow every single thing all the time. Okay, let's get another one over here. Okay, I think everybody can relate to this one. The no rice diet. Di ko kaya walang rice, lalo pag umuwi ako ng province.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so
I love
the
when
first
people say
time...
ha-ha-hoo-hoo. It's just so funny to me.
I like that. I actually, you know, fun fact. I never used haha or hoo hoo or hehe or hehe in any of my texts from when I was in the States. It was just like one lol or one lamau. Yeah, that's what I call it. It's only when I got to the Philippines where I started using ha 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 or hehe. I find it cute, and I find it. It has more emotion, in my opinion, than lol.
I find that hahas that are only two. Ha ha is fake. Like, you have to give me three or it's fake.
Oh, like ha 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 versus ha ha. Yeah. Or not fake, but it just seems like, oh, she's not, he or she isn't that interested.
It's like they're not really laughing.
It's like a filler. Like,
they're not actually laughing. They're not actually laughing. Like, I'm like, you're not laughing at me. Or at my joke. I don't believe you.
Okay, how about a lol that's undercase versus a lol that's all caps?
I don't know, because I don't really use lol. Anyways, well, let's go back
to
our diet.
Back to the rice.
Okay, no rice
yes.
diet. Yeah.
I think the first time that I had no rice diet was, I'm thinking around 2012. So like a year before I moved back to the Philippines, my dad and I were getting to this thing called the leptin diet, which is like reducing the amount of carbs. But in a way, it was kind of like a pretense of keto, but like you're still having a little bit of carbs, but you're getting it from like fruit sources and like not rice or like breads, but it was like from I guess higher glycemic index types of carbohydrates. So my dad would like, oh, if you can have rice, and he would measure it in a measuring cup, like only half cup of this, and it's like, oh, it's only 500 calories, and then he would make me a shake, and then he would put chicken, and there would be times where like, oh yeah, no rice muna, just have salad and stuff like that. And at first, I was like, cool, I'm eating more vegetables, I'm eating, and then I started to really, really crave it. It was so bad. It was so bad.
And rice I is binged actually rice. One of-
Where
yeah,
I
rice is actually
rice
one of the
with
hard-
soy sauce.
Yeah, rice is actually one of the hardest things for me right now to get over. Like, it's really ingrained in my mind that, like, this is bad. So sometimes when I eat, like, more than, let's say, a few scoops that I put on my... the scoops that I put on my plate, if I want to get more, it takes me a lot of, like, mental effort to reach for more. Because in my mind, I shouldn't even be getting more. Like, it's already a win for me that I have rice. At all, like, that's a very big win for me. But then now to add rice or to have rice more than once takes a bit more effort in those times, right? I started eating a no rice diet and I am eating rice now, by the way, but I did begin a no rice diet when I was in 2010. That was the very first quote-unquote diet that I did, because for those who don't know, I did study in an art school that was a dormitory, meaning that we all stayed there for the weekdays and we would go home on the weekends. So all the food was provided. And then every time we go to the cafeteria, I would just skip the rice. And all I had was the very limited ulam, because everything is kind of portioned, right? Like, because we're a big school, there's a lot of people, so it's portioned because it's paid for and things like that. So I would get that small portion of ulam, and that's the only thing that I would eat. And I don't know. I don't really know how I got through that. Snacks. I definitely got through that with snacks. So the rice that I wasn't eating, I was eating through, like, snacks and binge eating in the weekends. Not even binge eating on rice, just binge eating in general on any food that I could get my hands on.
Did you ever binge on rice? Or, like, did you have, like, that, oh, it's rice, I'm not going to eat it, so you end up going to, like, ice cream or bread?
Yeah, it's mostly like that. I've never really had a... I love rice, but I don't love it to the point of, like, I could eat it with just it and soy sauce. Like,
oh my god.
Bai can best. Do that, the soy sauce and calamansi and rice. She said
yes,
she can do that.
That's yeah. The best.
And, like, I can't do that because I don't like, I love rice, but I don't love it that much. You know, the only way that I can eat rice on its own is if it's suman. And even then it's not on its own because it still has coconut milk and, sugar.
Yeah, fun fact, Joe finds me weird because I don't dip my suman in anything. I just eat the suman straight up, and she's like, you're so weird. You literally just said, but there's something in it, like coconut and whatever. That's
but
the flavor that I love.
Let us know if you guys,
it's so good.
Just tell us if anyone else here does that, like, you just eat the suman. Okay, so for context, this is the suman that is in the yellow.
Suman sa Ibos, the one that's really, really prominent in, like, Antipolo, right? When you go up to the church, the yellow one that you untwist.
Yeah, that one is so bland.
It's the best
one.
So
bland on its own.
Okay, I would sometimes put it in, like, brown sugar, or I put it in white sugar.
Yeah, that's
but, like,
how you're supposed to do it.
It takes away from the, like, it just tastes so good without it.
No, it doesn't take away. It makes it better.
Okay, guys, who is team suman only versus who is team dip the suman? Please tell us who is right.
Do you eat the green suman on its own?
Yeah, most sumans,
that's worse.
Except for a few, the green sumans are actually already sweet. There's, like, the suman
no
sabiha.
not the thin one.
Okay, so the kind of bland one.
Yeah, because the one that has, like, a shape where it's,
yeah,
like a candy. It kind of looks
like
a candy
this?
Because, like... Huh? No, not the triangle. It's like a candy because the straw that wraps around it is on the sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to put a latte to that.
Nah.
Ugh.
Nope. Because it tastes...
I don't judge people's eating choices. Like, I just want to emphasize, I don't judge eating choices except this one.
Okay. Have you eaten a Chinese rice wrap, the roll, right? It's exactly like that. It kind of tastes like that. It's not as flavorful because they put, like, meat and beef and stuff inside it. But, like, the machang, that's what you call it. It's a rice roll that's wrapped in, like, in lotus leaf or whatever, banana leaf, and you put it down, and it tastes like that.
Okay. Kind of. Anyways, just let us know if you are crazy like Elijah, or if you are, you know, if you have good taste where you don't just eat the suman without dipping it in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
I'm okay. Right.
I will die on this hill. Like, don't eat it on its own. Okay.
You're on a chair.
Yeah. You get it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the no rice diet can be, what we can get from that is like, yes, we can prioritize more fiber sources and more protein sources. I get that. I agree with that. But when you remove rice completely because of the fear of rice, you have to recognize is, does that actually leave you more satisfied with your meal, or does that make you look for more? And rice is not inherently bad. People tend to restrict rice because they think, I can't stop eating rice. Like, when I add rice to my meals, it just makes the meals better. But think about it. Nobody actually just eats rice. Just rice. Yeah, like plain rice. It usually has something else. And most of the time, Filipino dishes just tend to be so high in flavor that you do require a lot of rice in order for you to counteract that, the taste.
Like, have any of you guys ever tried adobo without rice or caldereta? Like, I eat sinigang without rice sometimes. Because there's no rice, it's so good. The soup is good, right?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the flavorful stuff, like a really peanut-filled kare-kare, a caldereta, an adobo, sisig. Like, that doesn't have soup, but imagine eating sisig without rice. Well, you can if you're drinking, but for the most part, like, that's so hard to eat without it.
That's what you're saying versus the you just eating the suman on its own.
I'd rather eat slightly bland and it's like feels good and I like it versus I have nothing but full on flavor hitting my face.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, yeah, that's one of the reasons why we tend to reach for a lot of rice, because, and somebody commented this on one of my videos, which made a lot of sense. He mentioned how in history there was a tendency to make your food flavorful because of food insecurity. Like, if you didn't have a lot of food, you would just try to make it as flavorful as possible and rely on the cheap and very staple food item, which is rice, to get you by.
Because it makes sense, know? Right? You use that as a way to trick your brain and saying, oh, it's so good, so I'm able to eat this, and it satisfies your, I guess, emotional and psychological hunger.
Like your physical, right? I think it's mostly a physical aspect, because if you don't have enough food in general, you will need to fill up on something, and that's going to be on rice. And also remember that, you know, it's part of culture. Rice is affordable, rice is accessible. Of course, it depends on where you get your rice, because there will be times that rice is a bit expensive now. It's also part of culture. So removing it is not just about a diet, but sometimes it can also remove part of who you are. And a lot of individuals have actually commented on my video saying that when they have a meal that doesn't have rice, it just doesn't feel like a meal, because it's that part of that mental satiety. It's part of your culture and your connection. So if you are afraid of rice, it's not so much about cutting it out completely, but now adding things to help you feel more satiated in your meal, like fiber and maybe a bit more protein, and also making sure that you're looking in throughout the whole nutrition that you have, because there might be some skipped meals here and there. There might be some restriction going on that leads you to eat more than comfortable levels.
Exactly. To be honest, there's some people that, oh, I'm going to remove rice because it's sugar or whatever, and it's carbohydrates. But then when they remove it, they end up eating more bread and pasta. And it's like, that's crackers. The same exact thing. And crackers, same exact thing. So why not just enjoy it and have a balanced diet and add more protein, add more ulam or whatever?
Yeah.
Right.
That, however, is more on the misinformation side of people are just saying that rice is bad. That's it. Like,
especially
rice
in the Philippines, right?
Point blank.
Yeah. Your tita's going to say, ganun ako kasi kumain ng kanin, ano ba? And you're just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. And also part of that, I think, is racist. Like, it's a racist thing as well. Because, kind of like MSG. You know how MSG is seen as bad because somebody ate Chinese food and then felt dizzy and now
they got
like,
sick or whatever.
MSG. Yeah, now it's MSG's fault. I think part of that is also, in a sense, a racial thing, because people tend to demonize rice when it's an Asian staple. you know? And then usually people who demonize rice is the Western culture that is telling you that carbs in general are bad, but it's also people who don't have rice in their usual routine anyway. And then that's just amplified by the Asians who start to now fear rice because of what they're told online.
Exactly. And another way, another country to disprove that point is look at Japan. They have a lot of rice, and yet they're some of the health. They are one of the healthiest countries in the world. Like I said last episode, same thing, right?
Yeah, but it's also not just the rice too. It's also that they have a very great system where they're able to walk a lot.
Yeah.
I wish for that as well. Yeah,
me too.
Okay, let's go into another one here. Not eating even if I'm starving and my head is hurting because I can only eat 1,200 calories.
That in itself is already telling you to eat more because 1,200 calories is not enough at all.
Yeah, and there will be instances where 1,200 calories could be enough depending on the situation. Okay, so when we say that we're talking about like an average human being who is working, living their day-to-day life. Okay, if there is bed rest or anything like that, but even in those situations, we still wouldn't put it in 1-2 right away, because for your body to simply maintain its functions, like your liver, your kidney, there's a study that showed that there are a certain amount of calories that each of your organs need just to continue its biological functions. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was something around like 200 something for the kidney, 300 something for the liver, and so on. And all of that kind of, and those were like averages as well. All of that kind of amounted to at least 1-3 calories. So to think that just to keep your organs alive would need that much, and now we're restricting so much as well.
Yeah.
You know, because and then it's become a normalized thing.
Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, like the basal metabolic rate formula is just a formula. So it's not set in stone that, oh, it says that my BMR is 1,200. It's theoretical. And for the most part, your body needs energy to function. And if you're not going to eat enough food, not enough energy, your body's going to adapt to the situation by making you, hey, I'm screaming, I'm hungry, feed me now. And then it's going to make you lethargic. It's going to give you headaches because it's basically alarm signals saying you need to eat or else.
Yes. So many people think that they're just weak or that they need more discipline because they feel so hungry. But if you're under eating and under fueling your body, it's going to try to get fuel. So it's not your body failing you. It's actually your body being very smart and trying to keep you alive whenever it tries to fuel you. And that's something that I fought myself for so long, where it's like, oh, I'm hungry again, I'm so weak, like, oh, I'm thinking about food again, I'm so obsessed with food, but then recognizing also that I wasn't eating enough as well. And we've normalized so badly the need to eat very, very little that sometimes somebody sees me eat a whole cup of rice and be like, oh my god, that's so much. When it's just actually that's actually just a regular amount. It's not necessarily overeating. Like, you know, we automatically think that one whole cup of rice is overeating when actually it's just a regular amount of rice for an average individual. Yeah.
People think that for me, I thought that was the limit. And at one point, like one cup is your limit because more than that is
no bad. More than that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people think that one cup of rice is too much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because we have normalized so much the need to not eat. There are a lot of people who also think that snacks are bad because that means you're overeating already. Like the moment you have a snack, it's bad, but that can actually help you get through your day. Or I've also had clients who would tell me they only do 2 tablespoons of rice in their plate and then that's it. And then I talk about like, oh, actually you can have more than that. And they're like, huh, parang sobrang dami naman nun. Because our automatic assumption, and I don't know if this is also just for mostly on a female spectrum of it, like being a female, you're taught that you have to eat a lot less than a man or anything like that. I guess that also plays a big role into it as well. But generally, we are told that eating is a bad thing. So we're often really told that we're like, we have this mindset that eating in general is bad when eating is literally fuel for your body, right? And that's why it's so stressful, because I mean it's stressful, and it's also crazy how we have to tell people that it's okay to eat, you know, because it's come to that point where it becomes a shock to people when they hear that they're actually allowed to eat and actually it's okay to eat. It becomes, huh, what, I didn't know that, you know. It we live in that type of world.
Yeah. I think I wanted to add was a reason why, like, oh, but why do I feel hungry all the time, even though I eat? It's like, I feel like sometimes for a lot of us, we've effed up our hunger cues so much through dieting, through under-eating, binging, undiagnosed eating disorders that, yeah, it's your body's way of coping, because it's not getting either the right amount of food that it needs, or it's been deprived for so long that it's trying to recoup itself, right? Your body is smart, but it's still your body. It can get damaged. It needs time to heal. It needs time to fix itself. And when you're constantly beating it up in the way of really bad dieting, making unhealthy habits, and through the years, your body needs a lot of time to recover. That's why me and Joe, even though we are on the road to recovery, we're still on that road to recovery. I wouldn't call myself fully 100% healed from what I used to be before, because it takes time. It takes time to build new habits. It takes time for your body to learn how to be normally functioning, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of time, not just physically, but also mentally. And that's actually the hardest part, because your body will literally fight you not feeding it. It's going to fight that. Like, it's gonna make, like we mentioned, it's gonna make you hungrier, it's gonna have you give you cravings, you're gonna end up reaching for food a lot and binge eating as a response to restriction, right? Like, so again, it's not a lack of willpower that causes the binge eating. Most of the time it is from some shape or form of restriction, not just physically restricting where you don't eat food, but also mentally restricting and telling yourself you shouldn't be eating food causes that resistance. And that actually takes even longer. That's why I have so many clients who come to me and say, I actually eat whatever I want and I still binge eat. Why is that? Because there are many different types of restriction. And sometimes when you are restricting and punishing yourself, it could even lead to more binge eating as well.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a whole journey in itself to understand what your body really needs. And it's a doozy sometimes. But doesn't mean that we should give up and we should keep going. Woo.
Okay, let's do another one. Let's do a last one here, and we'll probably just do another episode of
this
topic, because there was really a lot of answers, and I guess we just had a lot to say about each of them. Okay. This one is going or only eating very low calorie food. Okay. I like that one. I like that one. Not that I like that as in like you should do it. I like that one because it makes up a very good point. Where to lose weight, you do have to create a calorie deficit, which means that you will have to lessen the amount of calories that you consume in your day so that your body can tap into stored fat. And because of this idea that you have to create a calorie deficit, aside from the connection to the previous one a while ago where we end up with a very low calorie need, we do assume that everything low calorie is better. So anything that is a low calorie form of itself, you're just like, yes, 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 this is what I'm choosing. And there are a lot of food items that are low calorie versions of themselves that can be very helpful for you to sustain your calorie deficit. But it's not automatically better. Like, it's not going to mean that low calorie is automatically better, more satisfying, and more fit for you to consume.
Exactly. And that ties back to me eating a lot of TVP and tofu, because it was a low calorie dense food, but don't get me wrong, like, it really did help me with satiety, because I like having that feeling of getting my stomach stretched, of like the food going in there, which really helped just with my mental satiety as well. So, but it got to the point where, like I said, that's all I ate, because it was the only thing that I could think of. And I decided not to eat other foods because, one, oh, they're higher calories. And why would I eat that when I have the lower calorie version form here and I can just make it taste good? But it, I was always looking for something, right?
Yeah. That's also one of the things that I always get asked about too, is like, do you promote volume eating? Like, is volume eating good or anything like that? I wouldn't say I promote it, but I also wouldn't say that it's something that I would, what do you call this, denounce, in for lack of a better term. But the thing with volume eating is it can be helpful for a lot of people because sometimes you do want to eat. So for clarification, volume eating is essentially when you eat a lot of low-calorie food items to help you stretch your stomach, to help you feel full, while it is still low calories. And most of the time, you're choosing food like a lot of fruits and a lot of veggies, loading up on a lot of those, or maybe a lot of low-calorie, lean sources of protein, so that you end up having like a really big meal for a low amount of calories. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. The problem is, volume eating doesn't mean you're eating enough calories. Like, just because you feel full physically still wouldn't mean that you're eating enough calories if the focus is just to fill your stomach. And your body is still very much reliant on calories in itself. So if you are volume eating chunks and loads of big amounts of food, but your calorie count is still so much below your regular needs, it will still likely result in you possibly binge eating later or reaching for more food, because the physiological level of satiety, which is the need for energy, is not satisfied.
Yeah. And you also have to think about the psychological things. Even if you, let's say, were on just a very slight deficit and you were just below your maintenance calories, and like, speaking from experience, like, I would cook like protein pancakes with zero calorie syrup. So it tasted good. It was sweet, whatever. But at the end of the day, why wasn't I able to sustain it? I was full. I was barely below my maintenance calories, so I wasn't starving myself because I was restricting myself in another way, and that was restricting myself from eating stuff that I wanted to eat, like burgers, not TVP burgers, burgers, or steak, or chicken, or fries, or whatever. And that really took an impact because that was the form of restriction that I didn't try to incorporate, or the type of restriction was that was hindering me from incorporating the two types. Like, I could still have TVP and tofu and eat my burger, right? But I was just on one side, and I restricted myself mentally, and it got to the point where I just gave up.
And also, apart from that, is mental satiety is not just in the point of like you're eating the foods that you like, but it's also the way these foods hit. So that's why sometimes people ask me, like, is this better? Is this actually better? Like, there's some sort of food item alternative to what they're usually eating is. Like, is oat cookies better, or oat flour, almond flour, soy milk, and all of those things? Well, a lot of these foods can be very beneficial, and they can taste great. If they don't give you that satisfaction, it's not going to feel enough. So one of these examples is the very, very famous Halo Top ice cream. Okay, so for those who don't know, the Halo Top ice cream is essentially an ice cream that is 300 calories per pint. Okay, and that is pretty low because it's a pint of ice cream for 300 calories. Well, where in other situations, 300 calories would maybe be one or two servings of ice cream. But anyways, aside from the calorie, when you see influencers eating Halo Top because they're like, yes, low calorie ice cream, they usually end up eating the whole pint. The question there is, do they eat the whole pint because they know it's low calorie, so they eat a lot of it? Or do they eat the whole pint because they are not satisfied because it's not the same? It still doesn't taste the same as regular ice cream. You know, that's something that you look at. You don't just choose a food item for the feel of it. Sometimes but for the experience of it, you also choose a food item for that experience, which sometimes you can only get from the food itself. Like, if I'm eating sweet potato brownies, but it doesn't hit the same as a regular brownie with that perfect crusty top and that like nice fudginess, I'm still going to look for that brownie. I'm still going to look for it. It's not going to be satisfying enough. And that's the thing with you choosing alternatives and also volume eating is you have to always consider as well if you are hitting that mental satisfaction and your own internal satiety with your meal, where it doesn't go into that point of your intention is just to restrict yourself, but it's actually something that you enjoy and you like, and it's a choice not out of fear, but out of kindness and understanding your body.
100% agree. Oh man, now I want some ice cream. I actually want to try that Halo ice cream. Like
Halo Top?
Halo Top ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Is it, they used to have a few. They used to have a few here, and like I think it was like Roostans or something. But it's definitely more available in the U.S. than it is here. Mm-hmm.
Is it still an available thing?
I don't know. I haven't heard about much of it actually recently, so I don't know if they fell off. are they no longer successful? But yeah, it's more of a U.S. thing, and then like Healthy Options and Roostans had a few here and there. So we were able to try a few of the vegan ones that for Bai, because Bai liked it. And I always thought it was just so expensive. Like, I feel like I'm not allowed to buy expensive things like that. So I never really tried them. I think the ones that we did try were okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really remember.
Did they taste like ice cream?
I don't remember. Because we are also trying the vegan version of it. So you can try some if you find there.
Because I really enjoyed the ones that the vegan options that Bai used to have, but you know those weren't Halo Top. So
yeah,
I was
Superfood Grocer.
Superfood Grocer, yeah. I like those very much.
Yeah, but those weren't low-calorie ice creams.
They were either. Not.
Yeah, they were just more like vegan ice creams. Yeah. And again, like if you are vegan and you want an ice cream, Superfood Grocer ice cream can be great. But if your thought is just dairy is automatically bad and I should stop having dairy, and then you're getting that ice cream but it doesn't have the same hit for you, you're still going to want, you might end up eating more because it doesn't have that satisfying effect. But if you're lactose intolerant, then you know that dairy doesn't act well for you and you reach for that because it gives you the semblance of ice cream. You know, there's that intention that we're looking at.
Yep.
Why do you reach for this food? And does it actually make you feel good? Or does it just feel a little bit restrictive? Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we are pretty much wrapped up with our episode of four things out of the box.
We'll I can't wait more. For a second part. Yeah, I want a part two. I want that second dozen, because this is, even though we never reached 12,
that was just four.
Impression. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's not the Krispy Kreme party pack, the four pack.
So, yeah, hopefully this episode was helpful for you guys in any way, because you've probably gone through some of these dieting things, thought it didn't work for you, wondered why it didn't work for you, and there are reasons why they don't work, and it's not your fault. It's because they were set up to be that way. Because the diet cycle is set up for you to keep on going back and forth through it. So hopefully we're able to get out of it.
Yep. And yeah. I am tired. And kind of hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will definitely hear you guys or listen to you. Nope. You will definitely hear us.
Yes. Listen to you guys. Definitely.
Yeah. We will definitely see you guys in another episode. Bye!
Bye!
And that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much to everybody who shared their answers online. If you want to be part of the next episodes, you can send us your letters or your answers to @thedonutboxpod on Instagram. But also don't forget to follow us here. You can also follow @itsjoesebastian on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, and X for more content. And follow @healwithjoe.rnd to join my program or to learn more about nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast, so don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, you already know, you always deserve to eat.